Can you imagine being one of the Passover pilgrims that year? Having made the arduous journey to the temple in Jerusalem, traveling mile after dangerous mile, only to finally arrive at the Holy of Holy sites to discover utter chaos. Cattle and sheep wandering in every direction with their keepers doing their best to gather them back to a central location. Tables overturned, and not all the orderly and neat arrangement of the vendors that the temple leaders kept so well in control. And coins had rolled in every direction. The children scampered after them as though they were doubloons thrown from a float in a Mardi Gras parade. The place was a shambles. Not only was it a mess, but because of the disruption of the service of the vendors, worship at the temple was out of the question. We here today are pretty comfortable with Jesus overthrowing the money changers and the sellers of sheep and cattle. Naturally, we're on Jesus' side on this. We feel his righteous indignation, his absolute disgust with those who had made a mockery of a place for worship. Imagine cattle and sheep in Tyler Hall. Imagine people selling birds from the sacristy. We would never stand for such a thing. It's easy to be right there with Jesus on this, to rise up with him on setting things straight. It's easy until we realize exactly who it was and what it was that he was so unhappy with. From our urban and gentrified vantage point, it seems perfectly normal for Jesus to become angry with those in the temple courtyard who had the audacity of having animals there, especially farm animals. And money changers? Why not just have an ATM right by the front door? The problem with that is obvious. How tacky can you get? The unfortunate reality, at least if this is our line of thinking, is that those selling animals and exchanging money were provided a needed and maybe even necessary service to the pilgrims who had traveled long and far to meet their obligation of worship in the temple. The problem is that the obligations had become more important than the worship. Remember that sacrifices were required for worship. Those who could afford a cow or a sheep were expected to do so. Those of lesser means, like Joseph and Mary, sacrificed doves. Since these folks traveled great lengths to worship in the temple, which in and of itself was required, purchasing animals on site for the sacrificial offering was much less complicated than dragging along your cow or your sheep or bringing your doves in their crates. So naturally, there were vendors to oblige and assist in the simplification of life. Come to the temple. Make your sacrifice. We'll make it easy on you. We'll be here with sheep and cattle and even doves. And not only that, we have money changers as well. All that money with the face of Caesar on it that you can't take into the temple, we'll exchange it for you. Never mind the exchange rate. We'll make it easy on you. The people didn't know this was bad. They were lulled into lethargy. Here were folks offering to simplify their lives to make the temple more user-friendly. What's wrong with that? Making the trek to Jerusalem was difficult enough without the additional complication of cows or sheep or even doves. And there was not an ATM at home in Nazareth. Having the ease and availability of the necessary items for worship right there in the courtyard of the temple made the whole experience much simpler. And then in comes Jesus, making a mess of the whole thing. How dare he? How dare he turn our tables? How dare he free our livestock, loose our doves, ruin our livelihood, mess up our well-organized system? Everything was going just fine until he showed up on the scene. You know the amazing thing? The really important thing for us to pay attention to and remember is that Jesus didn't upbraid the ne'er-do-wells, nor the common criminals. He didn't have it out with thieves and pirates, and there were plenty of those around at the time. The very ones he called to task were the ones in the temple. Those who presumably thought they were doing the right thing. Those who knew the right way of worshiping and who was worthy and who was not. Right worship, at least the right practice of worship, seems to be very suspect to Jesus. Idols are idols, no matter how virtuous they appear from the outside. Anything that we hold as more important than worshiping God is an idol. Be it the purchase of cattle and sheep for sacrifice, the exchange of coins that are deemed to be against tradition, or maybe dressing appropriately for church, singing the songs that we like, having a certain prayer included in the service, or demanding that the congregational responses fit right one. Any number of things can take our attention away from God and the purpose of gathering together in worship, in celebration. What was it in this event that evoked the seemingly totally human Jesus, causing him to overthrow tables, scatter cattle and sheep, free doves, and send coins rolling in every direction? The people were doing just as they were directed, making pilgrimages, going to worship. And what they found when they got to the temple was Disneyland, a mockery. The condemnation of Jesus is not on those coming to the temple, but on those within. Idolatry is a sin most often addressed in Scripture, and idols are most easily masked. An idol is anything that it has more importance in our lives than God. That's what Jesus overthrows. That's what Jesus takes the whip to. Those things that get in the way of our true worship of God. Things like worrying about where our regular pew is, or what sanctus we sing, or if the Eucharistic ministers have open-toed shoes, or ornamented alms during Lent. Jesus calls us to let go of all those things that get in the way of focusing and worshiping God. It's so easy to be caught up in the practice of worship, especially in a tradition like ours that is so beautiful and orderly. In our tradition, it's easy to become enamored and entranced with the beauty of the liturgy and forget the reason that the beauty of the liturgy is for worshiping God. It's so easy to become comfortable. And comfort, I believe, is the biggest idol of Episcopalians. We become comfortable with our liturgies and our comfortable words and our comfortable ways of doing things. And when we're stretched and summoned to move beyond our comfort, we revolt. Jesus didn't throw people out of taverns and brothels. Jesus threw people out of the temple. He threw out those who were doing what was expected, who were helping those who needed service. Jesus did not make the good people of the temple, nor their leaders, very happy. He turned them on their ear. Do we really want this Jesus anywhere near us?
to page 326, let us stand and affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Amen. also for you.
Peace.
Love you.